It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Listen to ourselves.
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pop. You are.
Go Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo! Go Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, Football Friday. Bills and Texans on the way. It's also Sabres game day. They open the season in 4 hours from Prague. Jeremy and Joe on this Football Friday, and that's Football Friday brought to you by Cellino Law. Call Cellino, car crash, call Cellino by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game to the Crosby's way. On the Western Hotline is Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Houston Texans. Mark, thanks for taking some time ahead of a pretty big game pretty early in the season.
Yeah, this is a big one, right? You got two AFC, dare I say, powers when I mention the Texans in that sentence. Certainly the Bills are there, and the Texans want to be considered that, and this would go a long way toward getting them there. But, you know, it's still early, but it's a big one.
How are the expectations with Houston? Like, last year was a bit of a, you know, you find the quarterback, he's the man. You've got receivers that are growing into stars in the league, and expectations get ramped up when you play a first-place schedule. They're 3-1, and I think from the outside, it looks like they're good, but maybe not exactly hitting on all cylinders at this point.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. And I think that's okay this time of year. You'd rather learn while winning, and that's kind of what they're doing here. As you said in the report, you know, they are missing Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce. I think that's a big deal. You know, they've been operating without those guys for the most part in these first four games. Mixon was great in week one, had 159 yards against the Colts. That looked good. But running the ball has been difficult. And I think as far as expectations go, the offseason, they were sky high, and they're still high. But these games get evaluated by the media and fans like, well, you won last week, but it really wasn't really like we're not winning pretty enough. Huh? Are you new here? Do you remember 2021, 2022? This is a really young team, I want to say. Now, it's older in spots, but it's young in some really key spots, and they need to learn how to win. And how to win against these kinds of teams in all sorts of situations. Last year, every game was a noon start Central Time. This year, you have these primetime games. Your routine is disrupted. You have to do what the good teams do and learn to be the hunted, like the Bills are used to by now, but the Texans have to adjust to it.
They've played some close games. They did have that one blip against Minnesota. Then again, Minnesota's done that to a lot of teams so far. C.J. Stroud in year two. You know, it's very much always a question for young quarterbacks. What do you do as a follow-up when you have a breakout rookie campaign? How has Stroud looked to you individually?
He's better. There's no question in my mind he's better. Forget about the numbers, although they're good. But it's the way he processes, the way he moves around the pocket, trying to find that extra piece of real estate to launch the football or scrambles out and extends the play. And selective running plays as well. He's really good at that this year. He wasn't using much of that last year, only occasionally. Now, okay, let me go run 11-yard slide. We'll reload first and 10. He's doing those kinds of things. And I just think he's a year older, a year more mature. He knows what the expectations are. He's super smart. And I think obviously that helps when you're smart, athletic, and you're willing to do the work. You know, I just love the way he approaches life and football. And I think he's going to be really good for a long time.
So let's get to the revenge game element of this week for Stephon Diggs and the way he's being used so far for Houston. And it looks like it's more shorter stuff than it's been in the past, but he's certainly still making a huge impact, and the numbers are coming through for him.
Yeah, he's making a big impact. I mean, they have Nico Collins, who's emerging as one of the best wideouts in the league, and, you know, I want to see that continue. I mean, Nico's just a freak. He's tall, he's strong, he's got a lot of yak. I mean, he's really aggressive, wonderful to see, great hands. Diggs fits right into this, and when they acquired Diggs, I felt like this would be the case. You know, I thought that Nico would probably be the number one guy, and Diggs might have more catches at the end of the day, but less yards. So we'll see how that figures in. Diggs hasn't had a breakout game yet. He had a lot of catches at Minnesota, but Diggs has been really good. I mean, he's been wonderful for this team. And I know what the national narrative is, and I've heard, I know what Buffalo was all about, Minnesota, those exits. Look, Diggs is one of the guys here. He's one of the boys, and it's working out really well so far. It feels like he knows his role, and his role is, you know, catch whatever I can, whatever I need to, whatever is needed from me. And in the locker room, he's a leader. And you can just see it on the practice field, training camp, saw it all throughout the offseason. It's great to have him around. I think this is a really good match, Diggs and the Texans right now.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans, joining us on the Wester Hotline. How about Tank Dell's return to the lineup? How big is that in terms of the Texans with and without Dell? Because last year, he ends up going down and missing the end of the season, but he looks like a heck of a player for what he's given us so far.
Yeah, he's great, and then there was a tremendous catch he had in Minnesota that was called back due to a penalty, and penalty's been it's just been a big issue for this team. The yellow flag thrown has been monstrous. They have three consecutive games with double figures penalties, and I bring that up because you had a couple of big Dell plays wiped out. But Dell missed last week, should be back, and what he does is scare the jeebers out of the defensive backfield, man. You have to always account for him. You know, he'll be running free. He's a tremendous route runner, and it's just going to open things up for everybody else if you don't throw the ball to him. So to have those three available, even though you don't have your top two backs, is going to be a really big boost for this team, because I think this team is kind of a pass to set up the run sort of team with Cam Akers and Dari Ogunbowale running the ball, J.J. Taylor. That's how they're going to operate, so Dell's a big part of it.
How about the Houston defense? I know there's a couple of premier pass rushers there, some good cover corners. Has the pass defense, does it have what it takes to stop this Bills attack?
Yeah, they got to get pressure on Allen, and they didn't get enough pressure on Trevor Lawrence last week. Couldn't get him to the ground. They only had one sack, and it was a DB blitz by Eric Murray. So they got in the backfield against Sam Darnold the week before, but they had four sacks, but it just didn't feel like it. It just didn't feel like they were getting the pressure on Darnold that they needed to. So that's something to watch this week. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I mean, they're off to a decent start here. The defensive tackles, they find a way to get at Allen. And, you know, we all know what he can do when, you know, he gets out of the backfield, but you got to find a way to get him on the ground, and you better bring some friends. So I think that's a big part of this game. The secondary for the Texans, look, the two corners are good. Lassiter is a rookie. He's going to have some rookie moments, but he makes plays. Derek Stingley Jr. is phenomenal. I mean, he's just fun to watch play corner. You don't say that about too many corners. So I love watching him play. Jimmy Ward should be back this week. That's big for them because leadership tends to make the big play at the right time. And Azeez Al-Shaair, this middle linebacker, I don't know if he's going to make the Pro Bowl, but what he means to any team he's on, leadership, lining people up, quarterback of the defense, you absolutely have to have guys like that. He's kind of a clone of D'Amico Ryans on the field, so that's good to have.
Mark, why is our man Sal Capaccio telling me to bring up ice cream here locally with you?
Well, Sal, you know, it's funny because we were there in Buffalo in 21, and that was not a good day for the Texans. But The night before, we went out to a restaurant with Sal, and I forget what the place was. It was nice, but they ran out of wings. Who runs out of wings in Buffalo? I mean, what made that great night special, extra special, was we ran into Eric Moulds and friends at that restaurant. Moulds spent some time with the Texans, as you might recall.
That's right.
So I loved seeing Eric Moulds, and I loved it when he was here for that short time. And Sal afterwards took us out to an ice cream joint. I mean, we demanded ice cream after no wings. So he came through, so we'll always be appreciative of that. He's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, that ice cream stop, by the way, now has, I think, wing-flavored ice cream.
Interesting.
I don't know if you would try that. You get a little both best of both worlds, or maybe the worst of both worlds. I don't know how to phrase it.
I'm not putting salt in things that don't need salt or shouldn't have salt. Bacon and ice cream. I'm not that guy.
Okay.
But I support. It's a free country, and I support people's work.
Very good. Thanks, Mark. Enjoy the game.
All right, thanks, guys.
Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans. He'll have the call. Mark's called every single snap in Texans history. He's been their play-by-play man since the start.
All right. Yeah, that game he mentioned was, from his end of things, a Texans end of things, got to be one of the worst games in like franchise history. You lose 40-0 in the Didn't you talk about this game earlier in the week? It was like the wettest game ever.
Yeah, at least he was inside. At least he had a roof. Yeah, I mean, it rained nonstop.
If you were a Texans fan, though, there would have been a few, I'm sure. 70,000 seat stadium. Hey, let's go see what the Buffalo tailgate scene is all about.
It was terrible.
Let's road trip. Where should we do a road trip this year? Oh, early season Buffalo game. Let's do that. We can avoid the snow.
Worse.
And then you get there and your team loses 40-0 and you are just soaked by the end of it.
All right, let's do the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. When we get started here, I will give you an incredible stat connected to last night's game.
Football!
Super, super, great, great American Football Friday Frenzy.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Tomlin. Don't blink. It's a Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Okay, so here's a stat for you, Joe. There are 6 quarterbacks active that have thrown for 500 yards in a game.
Ooh. Okay.
You want to try and guess them, you can.
So, Mahomes.
No.
Allen.
No.
Stroud.
No.
How many guesses am I going to get before I get to a guy? Joe Flacco.
No.
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Come on. Not even. He's played 20 years.
Nope.
500 yards.
6 active quarterbacks have thrown for 500 yards.
0 for 7.
Yep.
Burrow.
Yes.
Okay.
525.
Okay. Jameis Winston.
No.
Really? Deshaun Watson.
No.
Oh my gosh. I've got one answer. Now I need to get this. Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Justin Herbert.
No.
Come on. Carson Wentz.
No.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Was it that Chief game that was like 100 points?
517. It was not the Chief game.
Okay. Andy Dalton.
No.
Derek Carr.
Yes.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
No.
Matt Stafford.
Yes. One more. Because Kirk Cousins is one of the 6.
Okay. Is there a backup hanging around somewhere?
Nope. He's a good quarterback.
He's a starter. He's a good quarterback. Geno Smith?
No.
File him under good quarterbacks now, by the way. Did I say Kyler Murray? Baker Mayfield?
You did, and they're both wrong.
Derek Carr?
No, you said that.
I said that. Jordan Love?
No.
Darnold?
No.
Prescott?
Yes.
That took forever to get to Prescott.
So anyway, that's just the trivia version of it. Here's the stat.
Okay.
Of the 6 active quarterbacks to throw for 500 yards in a game, 3 of them did it against the Bucs.
Wow. That's funny.
Kirk Cousins in 2024, Jared Goff in 2019, Derek Carr in 2016. Tampa appears 3 times on the 500 yards passing against list.
Wow. Tampa's used to this. It took overtime for Cousins. He got a 45-yard touchdown in overtime. He got the 509. Not to say he wasn't incredible. I can't stop watching the touchdown he threw to Darnell Mooney in the first half. 3rd and 14 into triple coverage.
Yeah.
And it's like the perfect spot. And Mooney goes up and catches it. And it's an incredible play. Incredible throw. Also, if you watch that play on the Next Gen StatsCast, it was even more impressive because you saw it coming. You saw the throw, the laser through the air. If you're watching it on that, you see Mooney. You're like, he's not throwing it there. And then the ball just is in the perfect spot. It was amazing.
I can't believe that the Next Gen StatsCast isn't the way we watch all games. It is a
Prime Vision, it's also called. Yeah.
It is a superior, and it's not for the stats, right? It's the Prime Vision that's better. Because especially, you know, the innovation that Red Zone was, if you were watching like I was for fantasy purposes last night, or, you know, if you bet on a game, you got an anytime touchdown. When they line up and they put the name of the player over where they are and they motion like, oh, Mooney's in the top, here's London, there's Pitts, it's Algier in the backfield, that helps. The ability to identify the blitzing players is incredible.
Yeah.
The AI so often, more than not, I mean, like 95%, gets the guys that are blitzing and doesn't buy the ones that are bluffing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's insane.
To zoom out far enough that it's not so far out for all 22, but it's out far enough to see the routes be traced. You can, after the play, you really get a sense of the spacing. It is a superior broadcast.
It's incredible. I I'm actually at a point now, this might be my favorite one. For watching an individual game, this is my favorite way to watch a game.
Me too.
I'm at a point now, the only time I am ever watching a traditional broadcast...
Bills game?
A Bills game or Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And it might even just because Sunday Night Football is like the only one now that doesn't offer me anything else.
That's right.
Monday night I get the Manning cast for most weeks, I guess. But yeah, Prime Vision, if you haven't experienced it and you have Amazon, like give it a shot. It is so cool to watch.
Also, I have a new take on Amazon. The weak link of their broadcast is Herb Street.
Not Michaels?
It's not Michaels, it's Herb Street now. And it might not even be his fault. He's done so many of the college football video games. Herb Street sounds like an AI version of Herb Street. It's so robotic. It's so businesslike. There's no flavor to any game.
Yeah.
It's so matter of fact. He is a flatline zero in these games.
Mm-hmm.
And the things he says are so cliched. Like, oh, here's Bucky Irving. I'll tell you one thing I see about Bucky Irving. This guy plays with a chip on his shoulder. That's what an AI version would say of every game.
Yeah. So, I didn't think it would come out as much when they hired him that, oh, this is a college football
guy. He doesn't follow the league. It's clear.
It sounds like he doesn't follow the
league. It's very clear he does not follow the league as closely as somebody else does.
Right. And he doesn't have the background knowledge of playing in the league more recently than, like, Brady.
Yeah.
Or Greg Olsen, guys that have just retired in the last couple of years.
I think he's a good broadcaster. I respect his opinions.
Yeah, I love him on college football.
I feel like it is not the right fit, and it jumps out. Because so much of the Amazon, the Prime Video, all that, the broadcast is great. The panel is better.
It is the play by play guys too. Like you do hear Michaels on it.
Yes.
That's another. Like again, I do wish their booth was a little better, but I do like that I have the booth
yes.
as a part of that broadcast. So it feels like I'm watching the actual broadcast, just an upgraded version of it.
Yesterday they had Matt Ryan on the panel. He's there with Tony Gonzalez and Fitz and Richard Sherman. So anyway. All right, let's get to the games. 506sports.com will tell you the games we're watching. Of course, Bills Texans. Baltimore Cincinnati. Must win for Cincinnati?
Feels like that's a game Cincinnati wins.
Is it a must
Isn't
win?
They don't look right. Here you go against the Bengals. Everyone's going to be betting Baltimore, and then Cincinnati just shows up and beats Cincinnati.
Well, here's what happens. If they do win Cincinnati's next four games,
yeah.
Giants, Browns, Eagles, Raiders.
It could be a nice little run.
The Bengals could come back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they could.
Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Must win for Jacksonville.
I haven't been tracking that. Is that going to be Flacco this week or Richardson?
I don't know the latest on that. If it's Flacco, well, I'll put it this way. In one fantasy decision, I had to sit Malik Nabers because it's not likely he's going to play. And on the off the bench comes Josh Downs. And if it's Flacco, I feel great about it.
Yeah. I agree. That's a very different game, depending on who. How about Flacco, by the way, just turning into this Mr. Reliable at the end of his career if he's going to go into games?
Are the Colts and everybody eats team also? Like, they've got a bunch of different. Alec Pierce.
Yep.
Michael Pittman.
Downs is good.
That's an offense.
Richardson was limited, so it sounds like he's going to play.
Okay. That's an offense that, in my opinion, like, one of the reasons that Flacco can step in and do well is A, they have a good play caller, offensive mind, and B, they have weapons that you jump in that team, any quarterbacks, you're like, oh, these guys are all good.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, next game to preview. Fox early games. Cleveland, Washington. How about this?
Ooh,
here's a stat for you.
Cleveland, Washington.
For the first time, my fantasy sports app has suggested I start Jaden Daniels over Josh Allen.
Wow, even that's not an easy matchup.
That's
for
right.
Him.
It is not.
I saw is under pressure a lot.
Daniels.
And it doesn't matter.
Ball
He's
comes
just
out.
So good.
Ball comes
him.
Out.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Washington, Carolina, Chicago.
Chicago, you better win that game or
I don't know if they're going to win that game. Carolina is totally respectable with Dalton. Miami, New England. Woof.
Oh, what's the over? I meant to look.
The over-under in that game, let me guess it.
Go ahead.
34.5.
34.5?
It used to be you'd never see an over-under under 40 unless there was a rainstorm, and I'm going with 34.5. Miami, New England.
All right, I'm almost there.
Implied score 30, of
36.5.
36.5. All right, I'll take the under.
New England favored by 1.5. Might be the only time. There is one game in the league that has a lower over under this week.
Is it Vegas, Denver?
Yes. Vegas, Denver.
Vegas at Denver. Arizona at San Francisco. Giants at Seattle.
Without Malik Nabers.
Yeah, unlikely he plays, which is Too bad.
And maybe without Devin Singletary, and they don't have much behind him, so they're going to be depleted of offensive weapons, very much so.
Sunday Night Football this week is, do you know?
Cowboys Steelers?
Yes.
I don't know whether I like that game or not.
I'm eager to watch. By the way,
I don't like either team.
No, that's right.
That's the thing.
Pittsburgh, do they run it well? Because are they going to run all over Dallas? No,
I mean, they don't run. Najee Harris is dead last in the NFL. He's, I know, in fantasy points over expected. So I would imagine that means like yards over expected. He's probably near the bottom. I think they stink running the ball.
Yeah, he's not.
And the other two running backs, Cordarrelle Patterson and Jalen Warren, are hurt. So it's all Najee Harris.
I saw Warren is limited.
He might maybe bad.
Is Warren going to play? Maybe.
Maybe. He's been banged up like all year, though, when he's been playing.
I really might need him in a guillotine league. By the way, Jonathan Taylor is out for Indianapolis in this game, too,
they,
right?
They can run the ball, and that Justin Fields can run the ball.
That's right.
Taylor expected to miss some time.
That's bad news, too. I have a guillotine team that has Taylor and Neighbors, and if they both don't play and I get eliminated, I will be have the best team to ever be eliminated in guillotine early. It'd be unfair. Jaden Daniels on this team. This team is loaded.
The Steelers and the Cowboys actually are both terrible at running the football.
All right.
But we're not going to get an air show, right? Because they're not going to drop back Justin Fields 40 times.
And then Monday Night Football. Get ready. You can go to bed early, everybody.
I'm not remembering what
you
the
can go
night
to bed
is.
Early. You already know what's going to happen. Monday Night Football.
Chiefs.
What's going to happen? Somewhere around 11 p.m., a flag will be thrown, and the Chiefs will, oh, look at that. They did it again. So you can go
winning,
to bed.
Winning 20-17.
20-17. Where's that game, Joe?
That game is
Saints-Chiefs.
Arrowhead Stadium.
Yup.
I have a hot take. Chiefs are the Steelers now.
Which means
they're
frauds.
They don't win. Or, excuse me, they do win. They don't score points. They're constipated on offense. Their defense is really good. And they win in annoying ways.
Yeah.
They win when it feels like they shouldn't win. They're the Steelers. Right?
Yeah.
With a ring. But they're the Steelers. You watch them and go, that should not be winning right now. And they just win anyway. Flags maybe is the reason.
Don't forget Vikings-Jets, 9:30 a.m.
Vikings-Jets at 9:30 a.m. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers said this morning he doesn't want to tamper with by talking about Devontae Adams. Connor Hughes reported that it's like inevitable that he's going to the Jets.
Okay.
That Adams wants to be a Jet. The Jets want Adams, and they've been talking with the Raiders for about a week.
All right.
Sounds like that is the definitive favorite, which we would have guessed, but now maybe even more so.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Special mystery guest when we return. It is Football Friday. You can give us a call. You can join us if you'd like. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets.
Step. 3-1 to Alonso. Williams sets. Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead.
Howie Rose on the call of the Mets. Pete Alonso's home run. On the Wester Hotline is Met fan number one, Howard Simon. Joe has a stat of the day for you. Hang on, Howard. Joe's got a stat for you that's going to put into context your screaming and yelling from last night, presumably.
I can't even believe that this is true, but it looks like it is. Pete Alonso, the first player in Major League Baseball history to hit a go-ahead home run while trailing in the ninth inning of a winner-take-all postseason game.
I saw that last night. I had to read it five times because I thought, that's not possible.
Yep.
I got a stat, too. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this stat, I hope I have this right. Mets are the first team to clinch a playoff spot with a win and a playoff series with a win when they were trailing and had a go-ahead homer in the ninth inning.
In both of those games?
Wow. Both. The Atlanta game and the game last night. No one's ever done that before.
So now does it feel like the team of destiny now? It's a movie. It's a movie, right?
It is. They're going to make this, this will be, we had Miracle with Herb Brooks. This will be the 2024 Mets, the Amazing Mets Part 2.
Well, Howard, watching the replays, Pete Alonso Looks like he knew it was gone right away.
He did.
He knew.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew it.
It didn't look like come off the bat. That's going to definitely go over the fence. Did you? You didn't know, right? Like it's well hit.
No.
But Alonso immediately yelled like, "That's gone."
Yeah. But in the moment, you don't think that. I mean, we're trained when there's a ball hit to the outfield, you're trained to just watch what the outfielder's doing. And if he's moving back on it, okay, he might have a play on it. And honestly, you don't know until he hits the wall and the ball goes past the wall. So, yeah, if there was an ISO camera on Alonso, I would have felt better. But it was really just hoping that the ball just kept traveling.
Well, on your list of incredible sports moments, where does it rank? You know, what do you got? Taron Johnson pick six. I mean, is it a top five? Is it top ten? Where is it for you?
Oh, man, I haven't even thought about that. I mean, there's some Sabres goals in there and then some Bills moments. See, the thing with the Mets, this happens against the Mets. Okay, this doesn't happen for the Mets. These are the ways the Mets lose games like this. So it's very strange for a Mets fan to see what happened in Atlanta. What was that, Monday? And then Tuesday, 3 days later, the same thing, trailing in the ninth, although the Mets would have had game two the other night. But, you know, it's amazing. It's not just last night, guys. It's coupled with Monday. It's coupled with having to go to Atlanta and win a game, being down three runs, scoring six, being down 6-3, going up 7-6, holding up. I mean, talking about, guys. I'm just rambling. Sorry. These two games are two of the greatest finishes in the history of the franchise.
I'm thinking of you and Ian Rappaport. Who are the other famous Met fans out there?
Oh, wow. I got to think about that.
Like, is Peter Schrager a Mets fan? I'm thinking, yesterday was the entire, sports world marveling that the Mets have done it again. So, we're happy for you.
Well, that's like I said, because this just doesn't happen. This team doesn't do this stuff. They're not known. They're in the playoffs for just the 11th time in 63 freaking seasons. So that's how rare it is just for them to be in the postseason, let alone pull off something like they did last night. I mean, you're getting shut out and not getting a sniff of a run, and then you go to the ninth, and Francisco Lindor. I mean, if I could vote for MVP, I'd vote for Francisco Lindor. He gets on base, and it goes from there, and, man, Alonso, and possibly his last at-bat as a Met, right? If they lose that game, he hits free agency. That's been the whole theme of the week. This might be Alonso's last game as a Met, and he hits that home run. Just incredible.
Howard, it's also Sabres opening day, 1 o'clock today. I'm going to give you a piece of news that it might be a little bit too niche, but whatever. So, Evolving Hockey is a Twitter graph, chart, website. Micah Blake.
It's like the best, one of the best stat sites. Like I have
Is that Micah Blake McCarty or somebody else?
No, it's a different site.
Okay, so Evolving Hockey.
Yeah.
Evolving Hockey. When I tell you that it has been about a decade straight of the Sabres being projected slash predicted.
Projection?
Yeah, like where are they? Like 15th? 81, 85, 82. This isn't exactly Pete Alonso hits a home run in the ninth to beat the Brewers, but Evolving Hockey projects the Sabres to make the playoffs.
Really?
Not only that, projects them to finish third in the division.
Really?
Projects them ahead of the Lightning and Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, I want to hang a banner right now. The Sabres have not been projected for third in at least 10 years.
By anybody.
By anybody.
Yeah.
Projected to make it. And let's see if Howard picks the Sabres. It's Sabres-Leafs in the opening round of the playoffs. What do you think, Howard?
Oh, we'll beat the Leafs. I mean, come on. Come on. It's destiny.
I know.
I think I'm mad at you, though, for the reaction that you had over there. Like when that happened, I had over here in the studio, mouth wide open, arms spread out wide. I am not kidding you.
That's how big this is.
But hold on, what you did to me over here is for 5 seconds.
You thought the Bills traded for Devontae Adams.
I thought the Bills traded for Devontae Adams.
Oh, I thought the same thing. I was looking at you through
really
the glass,
did.
And I was really confused.
I
was
really
so
thought
scared.
That reaction was the Bills are getting Devontae Adams.
Yep. I would have too.
It's more incredible that
Instead,
the Sabres have been projected to make the playoffs.
Instead, what I had is somebody with a stat website projected the Sabres to make the playoffs.
That's never happened. We didn't even have stats when this team used to make the playoffs. These sites didn't exist.
Every year when the season would start, I'll bet every season Jeremy would let me know on the air he would tell us what evolving hockey projected for the Sabres point total every year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
this
hasn't gone down this road before.
Did Michael Blake McCarty give him that, or no? Is he like
88? He had them at 88.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. What does he know?
Aren't we past the time where the hockey news said they were going to win the cup?
I think it was this year.
That was...
I
think it was the 2025 Stanley Cup champions.
I thought it was 24.
Ooh,
so maybe it was off by a year, but they had Winnipeg the year before, so that didn't work out for Winnipeg either. Was it 2025?
I'm going to try to find it. Hockey News, though, was that?
Hockey News, Cup champions.
Projected the Sabres to win the Cup a few years ago. They said they're going to win it in, I forget the exact season, but I think it's around now.
Well, Howard, I'm ready to root for the Mets on your behalf, so let's go.
You should. Who root for the Phillies?
Oh, God, no way. Never.
Right? Who's rooting for a team from Philadelphia?
Never.
Root for the Mets. It's all gravy, fellas.
Is it gravy or is it not gravy? Because this is a big rivalry also. Or it's not...
Well, I'll be honest with you. If there's one team in the National League that I do not want them losing to in the playoffs, it's the Phillies, more so than the Braves.
Yeah.
But they, honestly, between you and me, they match up well against Philly.
Okay.
You know, they just took 3 of 4 from them at Citi Field. I think they lost 2 of 3 the previous weekend in Philly, but they blew them out in the first game, and they had leads in the next two games, and they blew those leads. So they match up well. They play well in Philadelphia. The only thing that scares me is the Phillies' starting rotation is outstanding. But, hey, team of destiny, right?
Yep.
Beat the Brewers, beat the Phillies, maybe beat the Dodgers, beat the top 3 seeds, go to the World Series, and you win.
There you go. Howard, remind me, did you pick the Bills to beat the Texans?
No.
You feel... And Shakir, maybe not available, could be bad news.
That's not good. And right, and Dawkins now, he's limited, right? And Oliver came up with a hamstring yesterday.
Yeah, they're going to need their tackles in this game because the Texans have some pretty good pass rushers.
Yeah, well, Hunter and Will Anderson. Yeah, no, I don't feel good about the Bills' defense matching up. Maybe Bernard plays, I don't know. But even if I just don't like this matchup with the Bills' defense against Houston's skill. Boy, they're good.
All right. Thank you, sir. And,
fellas.
Go Mets.
Hey, enjoy the opener today. No Sabres after dark yet.
Not yet.
In the mid-afternoon.
Sabres before lunch. Or maybe just after lunch.
Sabres brunch.
Sabres brunch.
Time.
Yeah. Thanks, Howard.
All right, guys.
I cannot find the hockey news cover. I don't know what year it was from. I'm like legitimately mad because I really did think they had traded for Davante Adams.
I really
thought they had traded for Adams.
I do not feel bad. The Sabres being actually projected by a statistician to be in third in the division is more incredible than the Bills trading for Davante Adams.
That being said, in all seriousness, I do think that projection says more about the Atlantic Division than it says about the Sabres.
Who cares?
He had them at 94 points.
I know.
By the way, I think he had 4 teams within 3 points of each other. Like, Ottawa was in there. Boston was in there.
Don't you take this
away from me. I'm not saying...
And a person...
The reaction was ridiculous,
The Sabres haven't had a nerd think they're going to be good in a decade. This guy has him third in the division. I mean, hang a banner. Start selling playoff tickets. I'm ready. It's huge.
This comes after the break where Josh asked me, like, who do you think is going to score first? And I think I muttered to him, I think they're going to get shut out today.
If they do that.
I don't know if they're going to score. I don't know that they're going to score.
Why?
Because they've nobody in their bottom 6 that can score, and they've got at least 2-3 pieces in the top 6 that I need to go back to what they were. I don't know that Benson's going to score 20 goals for them. I don't know that Cousins going to score 20 goals again for them.
How dare you?
I love their blue line, and I love their goaltending. I just don't know they can score. That's it. That's it for me. I don't know they're going to score.
I do know they're going to score. And you know who is going to do the scoring?
Who?
JJ the Turkey.
JJ. I mean, he needs to do a lot.
He's going
to
do a lot. He's going to score today. He's going to score today. He's on Tage's line now.
Yeah.
JJ Paterka is going into the Skinner spot, basically.
Pretty much. Yep.
I mean, come on. Paterka's going to have a great year.
I think them having one of the best lines in hockey might be enough. There's nothing behind it that I feel like I can count
on. One of the best lines in hockey got them
for offense.
Last time they had one of the best lines in hockey, what did they do? They missed the playoffs by 2 points. And the reason they missed because their backup goaltending was an absolute
Okay, black hole.
They had one of the best lines in hockey, and their second line center put up 70 points, and their third line center put up 60 points, and their third line left winger scored 28 goals.
I'm not playing golf.
Victor Olsen was scoring 28 goals on the third line 2 years ago.
I'm not speaking
to you.
That
was a big part of it.
On the golf course. I'm not going to speak with – I can't even talk to you. I got a projection there in third, and you're going to harsh my mellow like this? Wait. Whatever. Kill my buzz? Don't harsh my mellow? What's that from?
I don't know. No, that can't be from anything. That has to be completely made up just there on the spot.
It's a song, Harsh My Mellow. You're spoiling someone's good mood. See? Yeah. Don't harsh my mellow, but I'm not mellow. I'm hyped.
Yeah, I'm reading the evolving hockey like right up on the Sabres right now.
And JJ the Turkey.
Yeah. It is a lot like the modest improvement. Face some very legitimate questions about their roster. He mentions UPL for the Vezina as a possibility this year. But then he does get into Boston, Detroit, Tampa are doing some work here in the preseason projections to help out like the Sabres projection. Tampa shakeups. Boston and Swayman is getting even uglier as it goes. So they might not have their goaltender. And then Detroit was a fraud in the first place. So that's fine. 94 points. Who would not sign up for that right now?
Well, I mean, if 94 is 8th, I'm not or 10th, I'm not signing up for it, but it probably won't be.
No, bar should be a little bit lower. No, I'm hopeful. Listen, I'm going to put too much water on it. I think their goaltending is going to be great. I think their goaltending is going to be like top 10 in the league, maybe. That's how high I am on it. And I think their blue line is also great. I think they're going to be struggling to score a little bit.
803-0550 to join us. It's Football Friday on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
If you play it.
All right, now I'm back in.
I want to. Czech version of this, you know, just have Mick sing it in Czech in Prague.
The Sabres in Czechia today. When did it become Czechia? Like last year or two?
Maybe.
It was Czech Republic forever. Alessio Kotelík, their all-time leading scorer, born in Czechia. Who's number two?
Dmitry Kalinin.
Russian.
If you tell me it's Hasek because he had like six
it's
assists.
It's not Hasek, no. No, 182 is the number two total
number
for
two
points.
Number two all-time Czech player.
In 589 games.
Okay. Miro was Slovakian.
Slovakian.
Czech. A Czech Sabre.
A Czech Sabre.
What number did he wear?
42.
Is Schmelik?
Schmelik. 182. Followed by Michael Groshek at 160 points, Vaclav Virata at 144 points, and then Jaro Spachek at 98 points.
I think it's really funny that the way I reacted to a stat site projecting the Sabres to make the playoffs made you think the Bills traded for Devontae Adams.
That wouldn't have been your reaction had they traded for Devontae Adams?
No, you're exactly right.
Maybe you would have thrown something.
You're exactly right. I don't dispute that that's what it probably looked like over here as I stared at my screen and raised both arms into the sky.
I might have heard sooner thought like, oh, okay, like a nod over there. Like, oh, look at this. Instead,
I don't regret it.
Arms wide. It was like the Diggs sideline video against the Bengals.
Well, hey, I mean, a stats website has projected.
Is that the same thing?
No, it's better.
It's better.
Predicted is, I think this will happen. Projected is, this should happen. According to my model, this should happen. Projections are better than predictions.
I never thought of it that way. You make a convincing argument, though, that it would be different.
Under my model, this team has that you should expect this. I mean, there's a range of outcomes, of course.
Who's the Sabre most likely to win an award this year?
Dahlin.
More than Lindy?
No, Lindy.
Lindy for Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
I believe he's the fourth leading favorite for Coach of the Year.
Has anybody won it twice with the same franchise? Probably. Like, John Cooper won it five times, right?
Probably. Not in two stints, though, I bet.
No, that's probably right. Longest gap between coach of year with same franchise.
Yeah.
Yes. Look, listen to how high these vibes are right now.
Weird. By the way, someone texted and asked if Devin Levi is eligible for the Calder.
Definitely.
I looked it up. I think he misses by one game.
He's not.
Because if you play more than six games in two separate seasons, you're ineligible. He played seven games in the first season that he played here. If he had played six, he'd be eligible.
So
I think he missed Calder eligibility by one game.
While we're clear.
I believe.
How old is Devin Levi?
Devin Levi is 22.
22-year-old Devin Levi ineligible for the Calder Trophy. 38-year-old Artemi Panarin won it. How old was he? 30? Was he 32?
I think he was 30.
He was like 28.
I think he was like 27. He's 28.
He won it. Cool. Cool league. Hey, now we're back. Reviving the Sabres up. I'm already mad at the NHL. This is hockey season. We're back. 1 o'clock puck drop. The Steve Foley Law pregame show starts at noon. Happy Sabre season. Go get some wins.